exactly what we're going to be doing. I believe that God wants to bring us to a new place of freedom. Am I not on? Well, I pressed the button.
How are we doing now? Good morning, church. The more like Jesus you are, the freer you are. You know that? The more like Jesus you are, the freer you are. It was Augustine that said, man is most free when controlled by God alone. Now, control is the opposite to freedom. It might be as you perceive it. But actually, to understand this first, we have to understand there is only one who is truly free. It's not me, it's not you. Every one of us in this place needs greater freedom. In biblical terms, there is only one who is truly free, and that is God. Nobody inhibits his freedom. What he decides to do, he does, and it is always good. So let's give a little definition that will certainly need a little explanation. Freedom is the right to do as you want, think as you want, behave as you want, and go as you want. That is freedom. However, are you up for it? Or are you ready for that level of freedom? So in the book of Galatians, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with a yoke of slavery. That, of course, is the opposite to freedom. And this makes a statement. Paul is saying you need to fight for your freedom, but it actually makes a bigger statement. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ wants to set us free. And the Bible speaks often of this. And so let me make a claim. I believe that true freedom is your legal right, your moral right, your political right, but much more, it is your spiritual right to be free. It is the way that God intended you to be. He created you to be free. In fact, there are many scriptures in the Bible. We'll look at a number of them. It's that Christ has set us free from sin. Christ has set us free from sin. Now, this is going to sound a little... I just hope you catch my heart with this. The danger is that you will focus on the sin bit, not the free bit. I have been saved from sin to freedom. Are you with me? So we need to be really thankful, but I guarantee you that most of us will focus on the sin, not the free. It says multiple times in the Bible, he died that we might be free from sin. Be free. Do you not think it's more important to focus on what we're going to rather than what we've come from? Now, of course, we should be so grateful for what we've come from. So the work of the cross was to set you free from sin, from curse, from the devil, and from darkness. It's why Jesus died on the cross. So it is your right to be free. Totally free to do as you want, think as you want, behave as you want, go as you want. In fact, I'm going to go right off piece with notes. So strongly does God feel, so he even leaves you the right to choose your own God to worship. If you choose him, you choose to worship him on his terms. But every man on this planet has the right to choose. It is how he created us and intended us to be. Now that may raise alarm bells, but it also brings terrific freedom. You could not miss it in the Bible. What did Moses say to Pharaoh? Let my people go. The message of the Old Testament, the message of the New Testament remains the same. And he would say to Satan, let my people go. They should be free and free to worship me. Would you say amen? So when Jesus comes along, it's no surprise that he says in Isaiah, and then quotes it again, I think it's in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners." See two references? Release, freedom for captives. That was the work of Jesus, to bring people to a place of freedom. You would all know John chapter 8. You can give the quote. "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You will know the truth, I believe God wants to free people today and begin to free people today. Romans chapter 6, let's have a quick look at that one. I like this because great chunks of scriptures are on page 3 of my notes already. "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." And the whole of that passage, I'm not going to break it right down now. I just want you to see that right from the very beginning, mankind was taken into a bondage, and the purpose of the cross and the work of Jesus was to bring people to freedom. And that we need to begin to think a little about of the nature of that freedom. It's really important that we do. And so I'm going to make a statement that let's just think about it for a moment. That freedom is not an age issue, it's a maturity issue. Freedom is not an age issue, it's a maturity issue. To give a child too much freedom is irresponsible. A young child cannot handle freedom. Try saying to your 5-year-old, "You are free to choose just as you like." Well, bedtime's just taken a shift. Getting up has definitely taken a shift. Going to school has changed, and we will address pocket money too. No, a child cannot be entirely free because they are not mature enough to handle that freedom. If you're saying that to your 18-year-old, you've missed the art of parenting. The most challenging issue of being a parent is to raise them free to make responsible decisions for themselves, that they can be free as Christ intended them to be free. Amen? And so you start from a place of necessary bondage, but you're taking them to a place of total freedom. Independence from you, they choose to do right. In fact, they cease to be your children and become your friends. You're equal. That's not the art of parenting. It's true of church leadership. It is most frightening that the Christians of all people should be the most free, and yet they find themselves bound into the traditions and the regulations and the rituals of their particular denomination, and they fail to find the freedom that should be theirs in Jesus Christ. Satan's agenda always is evil. It's destructive, it's controlling, and it's designed to steal people's freedom. The trouble is, it doesn't always work directly. We are all surrounded and touched by people, either for evil purposes or just well-meaning but wrong, who put down boundaries that inhibit our freedom. We need to find our freedom in God. And we need to inspire freedom rather than control people. There is a difference. So I love this maxim, this quote. You've probably heard it from the past. Nobody knows who wrote it. But here it goes. Here's the rule for life. Love God and do just as you please. That's really simple, isn't it? Love God and do just as you please. That is, provided you've got a proper sense of what it means to love God. Another quote, freedom is not the right to do as you please, it is the freedom to do as you ought. God will defend hard people's right to freedom. I feel this is a bit theoretical, but I'd like to make the point. You will never be properly free until you get to heaven. And I believe in that place you will be as free as God. Here it is. You will never be free from sin till you get to heaven. But how many of us know that we should be working to get free from sin now before we get there? Will you ever make it? No. Does it mean it's wrong to go for it? No. And so we find in Romans 8, this is just an interesting quote, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated, freed from its bondage to decay, and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Would you raise a hand if you're a child of God? Good. We're waiting when Jesus comes back again. The creation, the trees of the field will clap their hands, the mountains will skip. The whole of the creation will rejoice and celebrate for what is our right now, the glorious freedom of the children of God. Amen? But a lot of me has been suppressed. And I'm not finding the freedom that I should. And it's my right in God to have that. It is yours. So here's the bottom line. True freedom, biblically, is freedom from sin, from Satan, from demons, from death. And actually, although it takes a bit of explanation, and we will, freedom from the law. This is the bottom foundation of all freedom. But most of us have had our freedom curbed by others, by influences, by satanic powers working through people, meaningfully or not meaning to. And we are all damaged. But stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and do not let yourself be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what does freedom look like? Well, here I struggle, because who can articulate one of the most four-dimensional things ever created on this planet? Do you know what I mean? It's not an ABC issue. So subtle. So beautiful. We used to sing an old hymn when I first came to this church. And the opening line, or one of the opening lines to one of the verses, was, "Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." Is that not a paradox? Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. See, true freedom actually doesn't exist for us yet. The greatest freedom of all is being captive to Jesus Christ. It is him that said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And of course, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. It's not just freedom from sin, Satan, demons, death, but also Paul made the point that it's freedom from the law. Now, nobody is suggesting that you are free to drive home on the right-hand side of the road. Even if you're American, sorry, in this country, you cannot. You may think of that as a restriction, Actually, it's an act of kindness to the other guys using the road. Do any of us struggle to understand that? I don't think we do. However, anything that suggests that if you behave like this and this and this and tick this box and go to this church and live by this code, if you think that's going to bring you to freedom, you misunderstand. The Old Testament proved it did not work. Where is the true freedom found? By having God's laws written on your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you as an independent person are not following just a written code, even the written code of High Street Church. Or if my kids were here, none of them happened to be here this morning, but the code of Paul and Mal. I want to raise up, it's too late for us now, they're in the 30s. But I want to raise up adults that can then raise up more adults, that can give them freedom to be happy, fulfilled, excited people. I'm not sure whether we've succeeded or not, I don't know. But that has to be the aim. In fact, James calls it this, in James chapter 1, this is a really interesting quote. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, that gives freedom. In other words, you can't remove law. But any idea that keeping laws, you need them written on your heart by the Holy Spirit. I was really fascinated. I don't know quite why the songwriter wrote this. But in the song Canons, you notice that line, beautiful and free, the song of galaxies. I've noticed that beauty and freedom go side by side. Was it not Jeremiah who said, I'll take out of you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will inspire you to follow my law. Don't ever mistake that God's agenda from day one has to bring you to a place of complete freedom. And the more like Jesus you are, the freer you are. Freedom is about choice and then making the right choices. Who would you have said is the most free human being that has ever lived? Without any question to me, it is Jesus. And it's him that simply says it like this, I choose to do my Father's will. That simple. He's changed the whole world and he liberates every human being. I was fascinated in finding Psalm 119, these words. Which Psalm 119 is a long psalm. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. And I hardly need to say, we don't need to say, that of course, the exercise of my freedom must not damage your well-being. Paul's very clear. If you're going to offend somebody with eating meat, don't eat meat. But all of us need to break free from anybody or anything that controls us. You are to be set free. It is neither anarchy nor autocracy. If somebody here is saying, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do, you're not a free person, you're just pig-headed, stubborn and independent. What's really funny is that this quote that we looked at in John 8, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. What's really interesting is this came out of an argument with the Pharisees. And they say, we have never been in bondage to anybody. How can you say that? Now, think about it for a moment. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be really free. And they say, we've never been in bondage to anybody. Doesn't it beg the question as to what those Romans are doing there? For the last 600 years, they've been captive to Babylon, then to Persia, then to Greece, then to the Romans. Was that political captivity? Yes. Where did it come from? The Bible is very articulate. Because of your sin, it's brought you into captivity. In other words, if you start to live under the control of the evil one, it may seem as if you're promised freedom, but what it will do over time is bring every area of your life into captivity. And so we have a classic example. I'm free, how deceived were they? And there will be people here that at the end of the day will say to themselves, don't tell me that I'm free. Well, actually, you don't have to clear that with me. I'm really grateful. You don't have to clear it with God himself. On his terms, not your terms. There's a frightening verse, really frightening verse in 2 Peter. They promise them freedom while they themselves are the slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Now this might be a slightly political comment. I don't know, not political, just a comment on the whole of the development of the age in which we live, where all the boundaries are being removed, where restriction seems to be going, where you can be what you want to be. You can define your own gender. You can define your own appetites. You can live as you like. And we've got a society that right through from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, through to where we're now, are breaking away the bondages, the restrictions of a sensible Christian society, and then they're calling themselves free. We have got to state it that freedom comes on the terms of Jesus Christ, which is simply this, that you need the power of the cross to set you free from that which binds you the most, sin and the devil. And that will infiltrate every part of your being. Bit bizarre this, but Paul was upset with the Galatian church because of the way they are having their freedom robbed. And then it says there in Galatians chapter 2, this matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on our freedom. Bizarre. Oh dear. Very often, churches can be defined by their freedom as to whether they have open worship or how that's conducted or whatever. And at times you feel the pressure to be more conformist, maybe. Do you know what? Actually, how we worship is... when the Holy Spirit works in our life to cleanse us from all sin and purify our hearts and raise us up to be a new people, if you clap and dance and sing and shout, that is the fruit of the freedom by the power of the Spirit. And nobody is going to take that away. We will fight for it. If we think just turning up the volume and doing something slightly different is the key, we won't fight for it. Because the root is found in the Holy Spirit setting people free. And I don't think, as yet, we've got many ideas of what really free people look like. But I could do with a teaspoonful of it myself. So we draw to a close with two scriptures that I've classed finding freedom by the Spirit. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Boy, that's small print. Why did I not blow that up bigger? Can you read it? Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I believe that's a reference to your body being a temple. I look back at my life to multiple influences. My school, my parents. I see the love of my mother shaping my life to immense benefit. I see my parents' breakup of their marriage when I was 19 as being devastating to my life. I see multiple other influences in my family that I both give thanks to. But you know what? I found also I've just come out of a society that doesn't fully understand God's freedom. And I want God the Holy Spirit to develop in me a freedom that is my rightful inheritance as the people of God. And there I will get there by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if our bodies and our hearts and minds are filled with the Holy Spirit, do you not think that our whole church will be liberated by the power of the Spirit? And so, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. The whole of Romans 8 actually is about freedom. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, controlled, see that word again, the opposite to freedom, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives you, in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And so, today, I believe up and down these rows of people, you and I, that want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And saying to the Holy Spirit, you may do whatever you like in this being to bring me to a place of spiritual freedom. Would you say amen to that? I don't want to be controlled by anybody else. As a church leader and part of a church leadership, we don't want to control people. We want to inspire them. So that when we all fall off the planet, and we will, the others first, me later, when we fall off the planet, the inspiration won't end, but another generation will raise up another group of people. And so we are all like children before God. We need boundaries. We need by God to be told when to go to bed and when to get up. We can't set our own boundaries. But his intention was to bring us to the place where we will love God and do as we please. Wouldn't that be great? And may generations after us find in this place, in our hearts, in our lives, true freedom. And anything that says you're supposed to behave like this, can we learn to jump on it? Now, you see, even that is open to misunderstanding. But actually, we don't need to live by the ought to's. We ought to live by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, working in each other's lives. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand? Tim, do you want me just to close? Yeah. I believe God would say that it's very hard for me, a human being, to articulate this in the window given. It doesn't bother me, and in the time. But would you pray with me that you would be taught true freedom by the Spirit? And would you pray with me that you will model your life on Christ Jesus, the freest man that has ever lived, and has the power to make people free? And when he starts to liberate you from multiple facets, will you pray with me that we'll have the courage to step into that liberty and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage? And so, Lord, we pray and we look for your freedom in our individual lives. It is such a beautiful thing, true freedom. May we understand your heart for it. Would you write it on our hearts in a way that no human being can express it from a pulpit? May we find the power of your Holy Spirit, setting us so free that we will be delivered from every effect of darkness, from demons, from sin, from addiction, from fear. And would you help us to become truly liberated? So like one day the mountains will jump and the trees of the field will clap their hands. May we run ahead of creation and today be a true expression of the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. So help us, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. There will be tea and coffee in a moment.